You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
Big Red, way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
Big Red, Pat's going treaty. Our hitter makes some noise. We got a podcast. We're basically unemployed. Big Red, Big Red, Big Red,
I'm Pat.
Joe, this is why we shouldn't let Tweety. I know I said for him to start.
You're the one that said Tweety do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess you showed me and the listeners.
What do you mean? Nope. The listeners love that shit. Hey, tweet.
They don't know what show they're watching yet.
Yeah, they do. If you like gibberish, tweet hashtag gibberish.
There you go.
I mean, we do have a whole theme song that says our name. All to be fair, you might not necessarily know based off of that too, because it's like
that's also kind of punk fast
singing.
I feel like the way I introduce this show represents the theme song and the vibe we're going for, because Pat's very punk rock.
I used to fancy myself a punk rocker. I went through a lot of punk.
God, I wish I could have seen that.
I never had a mohawk or anything, but it's the reason why I can't hear for shit now.
Does my new haircut make me look like I want to storm the Capitol?
Oh, God.
It's not your haircut.
Yeah, it's just kind of your general vibe.
Yeah, <fair. laughs> I'm going to be real honest. If there was a Capitol that was close by, I might storm it.
Well, they're doing...
I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't either.
They're doing statewide ones, like in Nebraska.
I mean, like next door.
Yeah.
I would do it for the lulls. But the guys...
What's that?
The guys that did it for the lulls are all going to jail too. So maybe I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I would highly advise like putting that bit on hold for a minute.
Yeah, I think if you had a full mask, if you were fully covered, wearing non-identifiable clothes, and you went to the first one, you're in good shape. Anything other than that, or anything afterwards, you are done for.
Yeah. Don't wear your autographed Kenny Bell jersey.
Don't wear it. Right.
I'm going to be the dude Naruto running or Naruto running in a fucking.
Okay. Also, you don't want to get blood on that Kenny Bell jersey.
That's true.
I'm surprised you're wearing an autographed jersey.
I only wore it today because I was like, I wanted to show everybody how much weight I've lost.
By wearing a skinny wide receiver's jersey?
No, it's a triple XL. It was the only size they had left.
So we have a whole lot of topics, more than I would have thought, largely due to one Mr. Ryan Tweedy, who sent us a whole list of topics. I'm not going to go.
Glenn got mad when we ignored them.
Well, it's because I was doing work.
Well, I knew we were going to do a podcast in 30 minutes, so I figured we'd cover it then.
Yeah, you could have at least acknowledged that I was texting you.
Nah, I never like to do that.
I know.
So because there's a sort of growing theme in the questions, I'm going to go through them not in any particular order.
Yeah, you choose it.
Yeah.
So first question that Tweedy sent us. These are all topics from Mr. Ryan Tweedy. Are we required to still like Wandale?
I don't think you're required to even like him when he was here.
You know what I mean by required, right?
Of course.
Wandale, you're going to get beat up on the tweets, or you're going to get a couple assholes that are going to be like, yeah, fuck Wandale.
Here's my take on that all the time. Like, we've had this kind of topic in relation to like Jameer Calvin and people like that who
there's different. We've also had it with Noah Fant.
Yeah, Vedral.
But there's different because the one guy never actually came here. The other guy was from Nebraska. Wandale came here, is not from Nebraska, and then went to the school to try to pay for him initially.
Well, and Vince, as Pat was saying last week, Vince Mero, I mean, he concentrates on screwing Nebraska over, seemingly. Like, that is a recruiting duty for him is, okay, you're in charge of the Southwest, you're in charge of the Northeast. Vince, you are in charge of sabotaging Nebraska's team in any way you can. For some reason, the Kentucky, you know, their natural rival, the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Well, he used to coach at Nebraska.
Of course.
And now Kentucky has
nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Well, my take on it is this, and I realize there's a difference between like a Jameer Calvin and a Wandale, or even a Noah Fant or even a Noah Vedral. There are grades of it. I'm going to take Wandale at his word that his mom being sick is part of it, but take that out of it, whether it is or whether it isn't. Mm-hmm. My take is always this: don't be an asshole, because that looks real bad as a fan base and can be used as negative recruiting. And also, like, don't waste your energy on someone who's no longer with the team, but also don't waste your energy on someone who's no longer with the team. Like, you don't have to hate him, but he's not a Husker anymore. And he's made that choice. Like when people would say, like with Jameer Calvin, well, I'll still be rooting for you no matter where you go. Why? He's not a Husker. Yeah.
But also,
I'm not a Nebraska kid. I think Nebraska has that level of loyalty. Who's the quarterback who went to
Nebraska? There's a giant section of Nebraska fans that are fake as fuck. It's the same. I'll tell you who it is. It's the same section of the fan base that goes to church every Sunday and then goes home and talks shit about the person two rows in front of them. It's everybody. They're
99% of people who go to church are hypocrites.
I mean, I don't want to get in. I'm just saying there is a section.
I'm just saying if you were to really follow, you know, any of that.
People know how I feel about church on this podcast. Sure. I feel like I've talked about it enough.
Exactly.
But there's a lot in the window and nothing in the room. And that's sort of the way that Nebraska fans behave on Twitter. So there's this certain section that's like, I love you, Jameer Calvin, but they don't give a fuck. Right. They forgot your name. They don't even know the quarterback is half the time. They're just Nebraska. Oh, we're so nice. Look how nice we are. But then they go and they're
gone out the window. That's done.
There's not yet. They're not enough of them are dead yet. There's still a good amount of them that are alive that do that.
I think some of that's an overcompensation for the asshole fans who say, fuck you, go to Kentucky, asshole. Like, I think some of
is that,
I think
how is some that an of that's, asshole fan? How is that an asshole fan?
I think it's because these are 20-year-olds who are working for free and they should be able to go wherever they want.
Yeah, but without the fan base, there is no anything. So
I agree. But I think that's also it's a net loss doing that.
You shouldn't do it on Twitter.
Right.
You certainly shouldn't.
That's what I mean.
Certainly shouldn't tag a player.
Right.
We're anti-tweeting players.
I believe that's the company line for us.
And I think that's why that's what I'm saying. That's like kind of an overcompensation response to, is that like directly at Wandale, although he, I noticed on his tweets, had a setting to where only people who he were approved could
who follow him. Or yeah,
which is smart.
My observation is, real smart move.
Yes, but like, his mother seriously has a diagnosed ailment. So at that point, that is enough for me. If it's his mom, was sick and it's some kind of like, we don't know what it is, and it seems a little shadier, but that's a legit medical excuse. Right. My one thing I will say is, if that is the only reason he's going to go to Kentucky, there's no reason for his trainer and his father to come meet with Scott Frost and talk about the offense. That is the part of it that makes it seem disingenuous. If he's going to go because of his mom, he's going to go because of his mom, and that's what he's going to use to apply for the waiver. So then don't have your father and your trainer come to Nebraska and meet with the coach to talk about the offense, because that suggests then there's another reason that you might be leaving. So that's all I'm saying is, like,
that happened.
Yes.
I didn't know about that. I turned off all
that happened the day before he put his name in the portal.
Well, I'll say this, you know, we were talking about the idea of other personnel moves, because, you know, everyone acted like the world was on fire when, like, even before Wandale transferred, like when it seemed like it was a possibility.
And it is.
And kind of understandably so. But I'd say, like, when you look at some of the other personnel moves that have happened in the last week or so, with some of the defenders coming back, with Marquise Stepp, who's a pretty good running back.
Marquise Stepp is better than Greg Bell
everybody Mills
in
Greg
terms
Bell.
Of, but in ter- Mills is who I meant, in terms of his pedigree, at least, and his recruiting ranking, he's up there. And USC doesn't fool around with their recruits.
Right. So, Marquise Stepp and then Ture from Montana, who, even if you include Wandale, granted at the FCS level, outperformed our entire wide receiving core statistically last year, and production matters. Like, yes. I think sometimes, you know, Bill Simmons has talked about the idea of the Ewing theory a lot of times, where you have a big time player, and sometimes the loss of that big time player is almost better because, and not because of like attitude stuff, but because sometimes too much gets filtered through that.
Too much dependence on one player.
And obviously Wandale bailed us out a lot, plenty of times last year. But if you have people coming in saying, hey, we really need to focus on how this offense goes through Wandale, then suddenly it's not the focus on the offense anymore. It's the focus on Wandale. And that's
not a player that you can run.
Problems.
Yes. Let's give the example of Tyreek Hill in the NFL being a comp. And it's not, because Tyreek Hill is way faster than Wandale. I mean, Wandale's a fast guy, but Tyreek Hill is like world-class speed.
Right.
And that's why he is dominant. I was thinking, and I was reading some of this stuff. You think about Kenny Bell, for example. You think about Amir Abdullah. I don't think Wandale is to the level of those guys.
I think you're.
You know what I mean? Like, he was our leading receiver.
This is the stuff that drives me bonkers.
No. I get it.
I want you to ask you. So just let me ask you one question. Let's take the exact argument that you just made, but now it's not us making it. It's Purdue fans talking about Rondale Moore.
How silly
does that argument sound?
No, I get it.
What argument sound?
The argument that
Purdue is somehow better without Rondale Moore. It's an absolute
statistically, it's been proven that they are not. And sometimes that is the case too. And I'm not saying we necessarily will be better, but we weren't good with him. Like,
that's true, which leads me to believe that when you take away the best player, we're probably not going to be any better.
I think Rondale Moore is a better player and will turn out to be a better player in the NFL.
I think Wandale Moore is, I mean,
Wandale Robinson.
It's tough that their names are so.
Wandale Robinson is the truth.
Well, I think Rondale.
I don't think so.
is the better player. But the problem is that what hurts Purdue, and I think what makes Wandale Robinson potentially more enticing is, so Wandale Robinson has remained more durable than Rondale Moore. True. Where Rondale Moore has hurt Purdue is his inability to stay on the field. They perform better when he is on the field. They don't when he's not. But the problem is he's not on the field a lot. He's
same thing with a guy like Chenault at Colorado and now in Jacksonville. He's injured a lot, but when he plays, he's great. I do want to point out one thing about durability and Wandale. The game, was it the last game of the season where against Rutgers, where first and goal, and they could have gone Mills. They went tight end, little tip pitch. They went Wandale. They went another thing. And then Wandale on an option got into the end zone and got creamed. You remember that? Was that the Rutgers game or the game before?
It was Rutgers.
Okay. He scored the touchdown, but he scored the touchdown as a tailback going into the end zone and got just creamed by a safety. He still scored. Was that play and that four down series, which at the time, while it was going on Twitter, was run Mills four times. You just took it down to the two. That's what every person was saying. And they got cute and they still scored the touchdown, but that kid got smacked in a way that if I was his father watching that, I'd go
That's more what it's about, is that they don't want to see him playing Duck R because he's going to get fucked up and maybe not be able to play in the pros.
Well, Duck R would be fine if he did that play once a game. But when you're running that play with him six times a game, A, the defense knows it a little more, and the odds just go up that much more. There wasn't enough talent around to run him at Duck R and have him in the freedom that all those Oregon teams, that Duck R position was running free in all those years. That's the guy who was getting the big runs. We don't have enough around that to create that.
That goes back to the other point that I was just kind of making, though, with like the idea of like, and I don't, who knows how much Dale Robinson, no longer a follower of the Big Red Cobcast, by the way, and the trainer.
Hey, well, I got a little message. If anybody out there knows Dale Robinson, I want to
please.
I want to fight him. Me and him, squared circle.
I don't like your odds there, dude.
Oh, yeah? I did 25 burpees in a minute yesterday.
Well, he produced a world-class
athlete. Eight.
So that 8 seconds is pretty significant.
I mean, is it?
It is.
8 seconds may have been more significant.
Eight is that, I mean, that's adding over 10% of the time to what you were talking before, like 8 seconds out of a minute. That's pretty significant.
I don't think so.
That's how long it took Wandell's dad to conceive him.
Well, then you better tell Mrs. Wandale I could conceive all night long. Girl,
I cannot tell what's going on with my father and my brother, but they're trading videos on email right now. I can only imagine my dad sent some kind of like religious backed email, and my brother is sending some like down with everyone thing back to him. I wish I could get in on that, but I'll find out later.
Does Mike troll your dad like he trolls everyone in the Cobcast?
No, I'm the one who trolls my dad about religion.
So I just was going to say, though, I think that series that you point to almost makes me wonder, like what I was just talking about before, where there's this hyper focus of the offense through Wandale, even in the moments where it didn't make sense, like, because that was essentially Nebraska's version with far fewer stakes of Pete Carroll choosing not to run Marshawn Lynch at the goal line and trying to get cute.
That is a great example.
That could just be Scott Frost out thinking himself, like plenty of coaches.
But Scott Frost,
how many times has he done that?
No, here's the difference though. Pete Carroll didn't score. Scott Frost scored.
Pete Carroll was in the Super Bowl, though, and we were just trying to fix a 2-5 season.
But don't bring up
the comparison if you're going to try to put asterisks around it. You know,
well, it took four plays at the goal line, I wouldn't necessarily consider that a brag. Like,
yeah.
Hey, did we score?
Yes, yeah. But what I'm saying is that score might, that one score, that one play might have been enough to lose Wandell Robinson. I'm not saying it
you,
is.
But according to you guys, we're now better for it, so you should thank Scott.
No, I didn't say that.
I didn't say it particularly.
I didn't say we're better for it. I'm saying I'm intrigued and less sky is falling approach with it. I think there's the potential for positivity to come from this. Now it's completely unknown. It is completely and entirely unknown. And that's terrifying. But it's also unknown whether or not we would have been good with Wandale next year, too.
This year. And we may not have gotten this other wide receiver if that were the case.
And who knows if he'll be any good. Like, because we've had transfer wide receivers come in.
I do want to say something about the wide receivers now. I think overall our wide receivers next year will be better if Omar Manning makes any kind of contribution whatsoever. But now all of our receivers almost are 6'2", 6'3" guys. Like the other thing about Robinson, yes, he left. We may have actually finally gotten the complementary parts that would have made him fit, but now we don't have his part. You know what I mean? Unless one of these smaller running back guys can fit in there.
Which is a real possibility.
Maybe Alante Brown.
I'd be interested to see what, if they put Betts in like a duck R position or what's that other
he's
guy?
Too, what's he's that so little big.
Ramir Johnson.
Maybe I was going to say Ramir Johnson or the one Joe mentioned, Alante Brown. Alante Brown fits that body type pretty well. Xavier Betts is a guy you want on the outside because
he's so fast.
Well, they'll use him on those sweeps and those other things, like that first score he had. They'll still run him.
Fast is who you want on the outside trying to stretch the field.
It's also who you want in the duck R, though.
Well, you want
quickness is important there.
Yeah, you want shifty in the duck R. A guy as long and lean as Xavier Betts is going to be, he'll get broken in half.
Like Pat is a Xavier Betts. I'm a duck R. Tweety, you're like a long snapper.
No, I'll tell you who I am. You're the holder. No,
I'm the holder for the kicks, but you don't punt.
You're Brian Bosworth.
No, you're just the holder.
Okay, I'll take Brian Bosworth. That's fine.
Like the coked out version of Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, that's NFL fine. Brian Bosworth.
The good Brian Bosworth?
NFL Brian Bosworth.
No.
Should we move on to the second?
I'm fucking Lawrence Phillips. That's who I am.
You're fucking Lawrence Phillips.
Yeah. Wow, congrats. Yeah. Wait, he's dead.
I know. It took a long time to get him.
That's amazing that Lawrence Phillips is dead.
Yeah.
Is it?
Just out of here. I guess it's not amazing, but
I could have predicted it.
It's sad. It is sad.
It's sad.
All right. Yeah, let's move on then.
Yeah. pick a number, and that'll determine the next question of Tweety's that I ask.
Well, I know he has like six, right?
It could be any three? Number. I haven't counted them.
Oh.
I think it's seven.
I say three.
Oh, No. Don't pick three. Go like five, Joe. Five or six. Go higher.
I don't care.
Okay. Five is, do you prefer to 69 from the bottom or the top?
from the bottom or the top? Did you ever see the show The Americans?
Yes.
Early on in season one or two, there's a ridiculous scene where the daughter walks in on her parents 69ing, but they're like lying on the bed, like up, like as if they were just looking at each other's genitals or something. It's a very weird scenario. It's very odd that they would put that into a show.
That's good.
Like just have them in bed together. The way they portrayed it was weird.
So you just want another scene you've already seen.
Here's him head to feet, and here's her feet to head, and it's like this. They're just sitting, staring at each other.
What do you think 69 is?
You don't just look.
What do you mean? Don't look? You do. Yes, you do.
All you do is look. That's all you do is look.
I do both. I look.
No, you just look. I look, and then you're done.
I look and slurp. I slurp.
Oh.
By the way, that actor does nothing but weird sex scenes because I. worked on that show, Perry Mason, that he was in.
Yes.
And there was a very, very weird sex scene with him and some character from Mexico early on in Perry Mason, too. So
they're married in real life, the Americans, the couple.
He and Carrie Russell. Well, they're not married, but they're partnered.
They're partnered.
All right. Yeah. Either way, so you were getting off topic. Will you answer the question?
Yes.
Six and a half from top or bottom?
Top leverage.
I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to choke to death on Muff.
You just want to just fucking that's so
either
funny.
Way. It's not good either way.
It's great.
Maybe sideways is the way. Maybe you need a couple.
Maybe
of
sideways
swings.
Is the way to go, but I'm gonna go top.
We need to Cirque du Soleil this thing.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good question.
I'm picking which question I'm using now.
Yeah, yeah. We should get away from those topics.
Well,
at least for a couple questions.
This one from Tweety as well. They're all from Tweety. Am I less of a fan because of my tweet about the game passing us by?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good idea to talk about because
my brother really mad at you.
Well, a lot of people got mad at me, but they all started talking shit. And then when I said, all right, hey, I'll tell you what. You come on to the podcast, convince us or convince me why I'm wrong. Just that's all you got to do. And every one of them was like, just quit being a bitch. I was like, no, that's fine. I'm a bitch. Okay, I admit I'm a bitch. Come on the podcast and tell me why I'm wrong. Well, nobody will because they're all fucking pussies.
This gives me an idea, Tweety.
What?
We'll get back to the topic about, because I think my brother and myself and you have all had these crises of confidence about Nebraska. Pat's been pretty sturdy throughout the whole thing.
I don't know about that.
You've not jumped off the bandwagon the way certainly
Pat
my brother
agreed
has.
With me last week, but then on Twitter went and fucking tried to swoop up all the fans I lost.
What did I? Well, no, he's no, no, no. Hold up. I was barely on Twitter this week. What the fuck are you talking about?
Pat the one is tweet the diplomat. You had,
yeah, he played the diplomat where I
yeah, but he has to. Because the two of us are the aggressors coming from two different sides.
I know which one I'm talking about now. I was just mirroring the language of your tweet. I just wanted to joke around a little bit, but also like I was pretty pleasantly surprised with the grad transfer additions and some of the people who chose to stay. Like I was pretty distraught about the idea of losing Wandale, and I thought that was a pretty poor reflection of the program, but then there were enough things to like kind of pull me back in a little bit. Like I'm
the story of the last 20 years.
I'm perfectly comfortable being a realist and realizing Nebraska football, it's pretty hard to say it's in a good place right now.
Dude,
it's
and that's hard. The thing, like I've been
I don't see three
live.
Yeah, I don't see three championships in 5 years coming again in my lifetime.
I don't see a Big Ten championship coming. I'm not even confident. I see a division championship coming in the next 10 years.
I was just
I disagree.
Who are we going to beat?
Wisconsin.
How?
I am not
their
sure.
Their coach dies?
Maybe. I'm not sure. And all their players die?
Alvarez leaves.
I don't mean to turn this into a weird game of name that tune, but I'm not sure I see us as a top three divisional team. If we get top three divisional, that will be
I can
well
you're
ahead.
Saying for next year.
Definitely for next year. And if it doesn't happen next year, then it's also harder to see it the following year.
Years because Frost will get canned.
Do we try to poach Barry Alvarez? Will he ever leave?
He's 85 years old. Fuck that guy.
Is he 85?
The further we get from being a top three team, the harder it gets
to get back there,
to become that.
Yeah. Like it would have been nice if Pat Fitzgerald went to the Bears.
By the way, Barry Alvarez is 74.
I know, but I've just picked an age. There's a couple things I have to say about that. I think the only way that Nebraska is going to come back to dominance or even just a contender is if we do something super drastic, like go snag that Navy head coach and go full on option.
Oh, that's just another transition though, dude.
Right. But I get it. I understand that. And I'm saying that's how far we've fallen.
So you're saying we have to become like a Texas Tech gimmick type school, Georgia Tech and hope to win once every 8 years.
Something that they don't know how to defend in the Big Ten that well.
But here's
no one else about, competing for the guys.
And here's the thing about that, though, is you essentially. So look at Mike Leach. Look at the guy at Georgia Tech who ran the option for a bunch of years at Ken Niumatalu at Navy. All those sort of gimmicky guys, and part of the reason they do it is because they don't have easy access to the top recruits. And so the gimmick overcompensates for it compensates for that.
That's why Tom Osborne won.
But it also, with those guys, none of those guys have, none of them are winning big with
in Big Five, in Power Five.
Hold on. A couple things. One, I think that the reason they're not winning is because they're at Navy, not because of the style. And if you look at what Tom Osborne did the option. He got just good enough that he could start adding speed and making minor adjustments to the option and to the defense so that all of a sudden
he was also getting top teams,
but they weren't at first.
No, but then you're asking for another transition. I think happened is Frost came in.
It's easier to transition when you have to go after three-star guys.
Right. The guys you have are overstarred for the concept that you're running, but they may not fit.
And here's the only slight difference, and I don't mean to jump
no, on go ahead,
Joe, is that so Mike Leach has been at Power Five schools. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I guess, you know, Mississippi State and Washington State and Texas Tech are not, you know, the blue bloods by any stretch of the imagination.
He's consistently been on the fringes of Power Five.
But the difference with Ken Niumatalu running the option and Tom Osborne running the option is far more high school programs ran the option at that point than do now. It's such
and college programs and far more college programs.
Yeah, did at the time. We weren't the only college program running it for sure.
But also Nebraska, the reason that the high school teams were running the option in Nebraska.
It's a
chicken egg thing for sure.
But right. Florida teams were running the option then too.
That's how we got Frazier.
Who?
Florida high school programs.
Oh. Yeah.
But Notre Dame was recruiting some of the same quarterbacks we were. Clemson was recruiting some of the same quarterbacks we were. That's where Tommy Frazier came real close to going. So I mean, it was a little bit of a different era.
If you have an identity, right, you can get these big time players. That are game changers, and then you can keep them because, like with Wandell, he's the guy you need. He needs to be the face of the program so that you get more recruits like him. When he leaves, that's a signal.
The quarterback should be the face of the program. If they can get a Justin Hebert, then you don't need a Wandell to be the face of your program. I think what's happened, and we remember when Frost came in, and I've seen a myriad articles of what should Frost have done better when he came in. He shouldn't have said they're going to have to adjust to us, because that's been proven wrong. And so he at least conceded that, and his recruiting has been adjusting to the Big Ten if you look at the size of our players.
Well, but I think you're right, Ryan. That way for defense for quite a while.
Yes.
Also, people are getting too hung up on Scott Frost. People like what he said, and it's easy in hindsight is 2020. It's easy to talk shit now about what he said, but at the time when he said it, my fucking dick got so fucking hard when he said that.
Yeah. I think, though, he's had to recruit to the size of the Big Ten, and just like Osborne eventually had to do. We had the size when we were dominating on the run, and Osborne realized to beat those Florida teams, I need to take this size and add speed to it.
Right.
So that's where he's like, I got to take my linebackers, make them defensive linemen. I got to take my safeties, make them linebackers.
But that's my point.
Conditioning.
Before you two you both yell at each other for like 2 minutes? Because for me to be able to answer these questions, I need to get my phone charger. So
okay.
Keep this going.
Yeah, you should have just stopped, not even said anything, and we would have kept going.
My point is this, though. I think we're saying the same thing, just arguing about it somehow.
And the approach of getting there.
If you switch and you mess around, like, you need to have something that's doing well consistently to build upon, and then you get 8 wins, 9 wins, and then you adjust these other pieces. because it's easier to get the speed to come when you're winning.
Right. Right. We were 9 wins every year with Osborne, and then we were winning national championships when we upgraded the speed.
Right.
We're not even at that first level of where, I mean, Osborne never had failures like this.
That's the problem.
Frost needs to basically achieve just to get up to that Osborne lowest level. And then again, to get up to the Ohio State Clemson's, he has to take another step. And we're 2 steps behind at least right now.
Right.
I do think the numbers that we're recruiting are very good in terms of the size of our offensive line and everything, which will make the running game better, which in turn will hopefully make the passing game better. What I think Pat's going to come back and talk to about when he gets here is all the players returning on defense.
Do you not have your monitor on?
No, is he back? I have it just on.
Just so you look at yourself?
I don't even know how to work the
don't video. Mess with it. Don't mess with it because it's going to get worse.
It'll take me out. I can only see who's talking.
Okay.
And it's, so it is usually me.
Right. I want to add one more part to this conversation because this is one of the things that really bothered me about these tweets.
Okay.
That, like, fuck Tweety. He's a Fairweather fan.
Yeah.
I apologize for those tweets. I shouldn't have done that with all those burner accounts.
I just want to say one thing. I've been a Husker fan since the day I was born. The earliest pictures of me are me in a Husker jersey. For me to still root for Nebraska when it's this hard and to watch every game it's harder for me than it is for you idiots with all this blind hope and faith, because you're just so excited to be a Husker fan. It's just like, you know what I want to do today? I want to fucking cheer about a losing team. That makes it's so easy to do that. But what I do is fucking hard. I lose sleep. I wake up at 3 in the morning and think about the Wandale transfer. Okay. Oh. I have a literal mental health disorder when it comes to Husker football. So when you call me a Fairweather,
at least one.
Now you have to get on fucking Zoloft because of fucking Wandale leaving. I want you to eat dicks.
Well, I'll say this: not having expectations might be the best thing for you. You know, being disappointed, thinking this is not going to get any better. That's honestly, like, I think probably right now, we've deluded ourselves so
every season
into thinking, oh yeah, if we're going to get back to it now. And
I'm just thinking that right now, Pat, as you're saying it, you're right. Every year we've done that.
The healthiest thing to do is probably it's not to say like fuck Nebraska and like think that like just like jump completely off the bandwagon. It's to recognize this is not a good program right now.
No, and where we are right now, if you can look at where we are right now and think the game hasn't passed us by, you're delusional. I'm not that saying
the Mike Riley hire, it just keeps looking worse and worse. You know,
Sean Eichhorst didn't give a fuck about Nebraska football.
It totally, that's what it reads as. It reads as, let's bring in a nice grandpa who's not going to get in any trouble here. And
then we can sell tickets. How do we sell? And that's what he did. How do we sell tickets?
And they did that.
But the thing is, that wasn't the ticket selling maneuver anyway. That was
no, it was. Right. It was though.
I mean, it was the easy tickets.
It was the safe ticket selling maneuver.
In his mind, it was the way to sell tickets. But
right. And yes, like, yeah, not in real life.
Any coaching change is, but like that wasn't on its own gonna do the trick.
No, he was like, how can I sell tickets, make my $500,000 a year, whatever the fuck he was getting paid, and then also not have to like deal with a guy like Bo every day. And I get it. I work with assholes too. And I, you know,
hey man, I've spent 20 years probably not working because people don't want to deal with me. So those are people I like.
Well, we threw you a bone, Joe.
Yeah.
Tweety threw you a bone. Then Tweety threw me a bone.
In my defense, I didn't know Joe when I asked him to be a part of the podcast.
Really?
You knew my brother. It could have been him.
No, I didn't even know your brother. I was doing with Nick Ayersman. And Nick is, as much as I love Nick, he's my best friend. He's one of the most unreliable people on the planet. And
That shows because he hasn't been on the show once.
Actually, you know who you could thank for this gig? James Grace.
Oh, he suggested me?
Yeah.
He was like, I was a Husker fan.
Yeah, you knew you were a Husker fan, and that he said you were funny.
Well,
that's
about that.
That's one hell of a reference. James disgraced.
Yeah, why don't you guys Google James Grace and realize that he's Joe's best friend and the rest of the brothers.
Whatever. That's not true, but what other things on the list?
Oh, hold on. There's one more thing I want to say about this topic.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I blame Scott Frost. I don't necessarily think it's Scott Frost's fault, and I don't want him to be fired. I think you have to give him enough rope to hang himself. However, I'm not convinced any longer after three losing seasons in a row.
Well, four if you go back before him.
Well, but I'm saying of his.
Of him.
Even Riley got a 9-win season in there. And.
But
if you look at that, it's hard. I understand as a Hawkeye fan. If you were a Hawkeye fan, why people would be like, don't you understand? Because we shit on Ferentz for a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You're right.
The thing with Riley getting the 9 wins, the question is, and we've talked about this with Frost, would he have been better off making lesser adjustments that may have given us a better chance to win in the moment, but wouldn't help the program's growth in the way he wanted it? We've talked about that a few times. I think the answer at this point is he maybe should have slowed down because we're not where he wanted to be at this point, and we don't have the wins to give him the defense. Now, I know another
probably Husker fans on Twitter, I would argue.
Yeah. This year, we is the one of the topics all the guys who came back?
Yeah.
Partially, yeah. But you're about to say something, Joe, I feel like.
It was about that. I was going to say the guys coming back this year.
Save it for the question.
All right. Okay. Well, I just want to point out one thing. So when I said, you know, like, I feel like third place in the Big Ten West is probably like the first step target that we should take. The last time we finished third in the Big Ten West was 2016.
Oof.
We've had four. What's that?
Under Riley?
Yeah, his 9-win season.
Yeah. So we've had four straight losing seasons and four straight where we finished third
in the bottom half.
And that last third place season, was, I guess we were one game out of first place in the West, but
we had beaten Wisconsin that year.
Conference season.
If we had beaten Wisconsin, I think we go to the Big Ten championship that year.
If we started winning next year, to have a string as long as Iowa's had against us, I think I'd be 48 before we were even.
Yeah. And Frost has to basically go 10-2 this year to get to 500 at Nebraska.
Wow.
He's 8 games under.
5 out of the last 6 years we've had losing records in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's you know, we could run stats like that.
Yeah. I get that.
I'll still watch every game, and I'll still cheer louder than all these little bitches that are calling me names on Twitter. All the ones that said I'm a Fairweather fan. All the ones that said we don't need you. Go be a Bammer. Okay, get out of here, you fucking idiot. Jesus Christ, it's just so crazy to me. Like, I understand. Like, I hate the term Cletus when they are Cleti. That what they call Husker fans and stuff.
The plural form of Cletus, yes.
Yeah. I hate that shit. But the whole argument that I've been seeing that we're better without Wandell, like all this stuff, it's like I get why people say that shit about us. Because it's just some of the ludicrous stuff that fans are saying about how we're better off and that
fan base has gone into like a joke to other fan bases.
They're a joke to our own fan base, half of them.
To be clear, the argument that was being made on this podcast earlier wasn't that. It was right. No. Just acknowledging that, like, because I think the other thing that's real easy to do as a fan of any team, but especially Nebraska, is to either be all positive or all negative too.
No, there's some very positive things about this team. Like there was only 9 games this season, so we couldn't lose
8.
There's one guy we limited out.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to one of Tweety's next questions.
Sure.
Anal beads or anal plugs?
Neither.
You have to pick one or the other.
I've not participated in either.
Well, but
I'm going to say a plug because the beads is like there's too much.
Yeah, that's a real long term play. I think plug because then you can figure out right away whether or not that's good or bad.
Yeah,
I think beads you might need help with.
Well, I mean on someone else.
Like that's even. I feel like pulling out
the beads would be a lot of dookie.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to just plug myself than try anything with anyone else.
Oh, really? I think I would like an anal plug on my wife just because buttholes, generally speaking, are gross. So, like, if you could put something.
Putting a plug in there going to bring more attention to this whole scenario?
Yeah, but it'll be like a pretty, like, you could put like,
no,
you could put like a Husker in on it.
Oh, a little flower. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then you replace the butthole with a.
I like the Nebraska N or the Cobcast.
Yeah. Like a Cobcast
can we put Cobcast?
Holy shit. We should make Cobcast literally butt plugs.
Let's get hats first. Let's not go from water bottles to butt plugs.
I was on an improv team that got our logo put on condoms, and we would throw condoms out to the audience before the show.
Yeah,
I mean that's useful.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, I got no complaints on that.
Next question. What do you think Scott Frost's dick tastes like?
Oh, come on. How many of these does he have? Don't we have any actual football ones?
He, I think, started by the end to outnumber the bad questions.
If you guys would have responded before I got to these, I would have stopped.
I would have said victory 3 years ago, and now I say sadness.
Just, I don't know, dick.
I'm going to say sweat.
He seems like a
guy with a high metabolism that probably runs hot and sweats a lot.
This is why I don't
drink a lot of water. He probably drinks a lot of water, so it's like a refreshing.
No doubt about that.
I'm not convinced he does. His skin looks pretty rough these days. The more stressed he gets,
he is definitely taking this tough.
He's like those things they used to show back in the day, like president start of the term to president end of the term, except he hasn't even worked a full presidential term. Scott Frost.
No.
That's
looking like Kennedy, and now he looks like Reagan.
Like Reagan without the hair dye too.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, Reagan, I'm talking about Reagan in the casket.
Yeah.
next question.
I'm talking about Ronnie Reagan Jr. He really fell off.
Yeah. Did he have drug issues?
Probably.
What kid of a president wouldn't?
Yeah, what politician doesn't?
That, exactly. Yes.
Well, kids of presidents especially, because you have no control over the narrative of any of that either.
Any of it, and you're just trapped.
Yeah.
And you probably have access to good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If you love the smell of cocaine, you're fucked.
Yeah. That.
Next question.
I just like to smell it.
Do we really think the defense is going to be good next year? And
good. I like this question.
They are. Is it good enough? Although, to be fair, I should read this word for word. Do we really think the defense is going to be good next year? And if they are, is it enough?
I'll call the attorney general. Thanks. You guys seen that?
No.
On TikTok?
No. Look, I don't watch TikTok.
Listen.
I don't either. I watch it. They put them on Instagram sometimes.
I've only seen one of them. Look up Attorney General TikTok and watch the whole thing. It's hilarious. The guy did a bunch more afterwards, but this one it'll make you laugh. It's just so dumb.
Okay.
He's basically, he's singing an exchange that he got on like a, you know, Nextdoor or one of those sale things where somebody says, is your item still available? And he says, yes. And they go, stop contacting me.
Oh, he's I've seen that one.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Anyway, moving on. I like this question. It's actually about football. And this is what I was saying. Is it 6 guys? We have 2 safeties. two linebackers, and a defensive lineman all came back. We have, what, 17 of the top 20 defenders from last year. No Boodle, no Miller, and I believe one of the linemen is a senior who left.
Trying to think of who that would have been.
Not Stilley. Not DeAndre Thomas.
We got Honus back.
Green, who's transferring.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the top tacklers.
Who never really played.
No, he was probably like their 20th of the 20. So the defense is going to be as experienced and talented as it's been. I think...
And that's gone real well.
Well, no, but I think there are a couple guys who will get drafted off that defense. Sure. I think...
I do want to take back what I said about Shenander. I don't think we should fire him. I was wrong about Shenander this whole time. Well, I was
about the whole time.
Shenander. I was pro Shenander the first season. Second season, I got a little iffy on him. Third season, I was like, man, fuck that guy. But then at the end, you start to look back at the stats and you see the growth. I mean,
that's the hope.
There's definite growth. And as long as, you know, at least some of our young defensive backs are healthy next year, I think it could be as good of defense. And I think, you know, where Nebraska
Clark is very good. He got hurt. And I think he's better than Boodle.
Miles Farmer is pretty good too. I don't mind him.
And he blew out his knee.
Yeah.
But again,
he's back next season, won't he?
I mean,
and that's why it's important that those two seniors came back. Because maybe Miles Farmer is ready to go late in the season, but we have two seniors, fifth-year seniors, maybe one's a sixth-year, who are going to be back.
Yeah, one of them's 25 years old next season. He'll be 25 or some shit like that. Like, they're adult men now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think, Nebraska has done a really good job at improving on both of its lines, and they've been both – offensive and defensive line were young still this year. And so I think that's where there's a sign for potential improvement. Now, I will say across all of college football, just because of the weird season, I mean, defense is usually going to be ahead of offense when it comes to preparation, just because it's there are more moving parts with offense. And I think it will be interesting to see, hopefully they're at the very least, I'm fine. I would love to see a step forward with the defense next year. I'm fine with a parallel move on the defense next year. And I think
to the second half of the season.
But
I think there were some games our defense could have been better earlier.
For sure.
Yeah. But even then, like, some of the numbers were pretty good in some of those early losses.
Except for Ohio State. Nobody put 40 on us.
Ohio State wasn't bad. We had no depth, which is a big problem when you got guys like Snacks. What's his name?
Daniels.
Yeah. When you got guys like that can play four plays and have to be, you need depth.
Well, and that's going to be good because Stilley hopefully will not even be a starter next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. But I think where the step forward needs to happen this year, and I think it will happen because of the very thing that I mentioned earlier. And I think it will happen with other offenses though too, which is why I say a parallel step for the defense is good. I think most offenses are going to be better next year than they were this past season.
Yeah. The offenses definitely need the time that you get in a normal season of training to get up to speed. And our offense never had a game where it was clicking. We had two, three drives in a row at times where we would look like it was together. And some drives would be like five plays were 65 yards down the field. Like it was nothing. And then suddenly we'll stall at the 15 yard line. You know, that was the way it went. So inconsistent throughout the season. So hopefully that will improve as well. I don't know that our quarterback play, if McCaffrey transfers, is going to be, well, our depth at least is going to be as good.
I mean, that sets the table for what Tweedy believes was going to happen all along, where whether it be this year or next, Logan Smothers will be the guy.
Right.
And honestly, whether McCaffrey transfers or not, I mean, I haven't seen Smothers play football for Nebraska, but I tend to believe that that's probably the case. Because
McCaffrey is going to fuck his career if he leaves and doesn't. He should just go play running back
be a Swiss Army knife. Be what we essentially wanted Wandale to be. Like, run the ball, catch some passes, be a do everything. Like, that's, I mean, granted, it takes a pretty good
team. He would be our best offensive player.
Those are the guys who win Heisman trophies. Because, like, if you do a little bit of everything and put up just a crazy, weird stat line, that's how you win a Heisman Trophy. That and being on a really good team while doing it. But, like, that's how you do it. Like,
he won't even play in the Canadian League as a quarterback.
No, unless our quarterback coaching is even worse than we thought. With Verduzco, which would be saying something. If he's able to go to Northern Colorado and somehow, like, they've got a better quarterback coach than we do by like a thousandfold, then okay. But like, he doesn't have the build of a quarterback. He definitely doesn't have the skills of a quarterback right now. But he is an incredible athlete.
He looks like his brother, who is the highest paid running back in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would say is, like, your options are a 1 in a million chance at quarterback or a 1 in a 100 chance to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. But again, I get it.
It's all rumors that he's leaving, right? There's no.
Yeah, I don't think he's put any of it out. I think it's just speculation on
other people's part. And like, Will Fong put out Wandale. That's how we knew it was legit. Will Fong hasn't said anything about. Like, I haven't.
But again,
Will Fong, not friend of the Cobcast, Bob Will Fong.
No, Bob Will Fong called me and said Wandale's gone.
and when you know that the father and the trainer are driving to Lincoln to talk to the coach, you know that's your indicator there.
It's usually not a sign of good things to come.
No, right? No.
I mean, he was only going to be here one more year anyway.
Now does he get to play right away?
We don't know yet.
He will put in for a waiver, I'm sure.
Which is why the COVID or whatever, the mom thing, that's why he's saying that. If it's true that his father and the trainer came, then that is all bullshit.
Well, I think that's weird that they would even send them unless there was a chance they were going to stay at Nebraska.
Right. But then it's not the mom thing.
Exactly. No, I think if you were to look at it that way, you'd say, all right, the mom thing is what's getting you there, but you had other intentions.
I will say this. The thing that leads me to believe that it isn't bullshit on his part is the fact that he's transferring to Kentucky's offense, because
that's who he was going to go to before.
I know, but their offense is so bad.
But like, yeah, if you
122nd in passing,
if you're sending a dad and trainer to try and figure out the offensive role for you at Nebraska, dear God, do I send out thoughts and prayers to you as far as an offensive weapon?
The rumor mill. When Wandale chose Kentucky over Nebraska initially, was that a bunch of memberships came into his dad's gym at the last minute, like
from Kentucky.
But then at that point, the conversation discussing offensive role at Nebraska is no longer relevant either. If anything, what that conversation is, it's not even about offensive role. It's about getting chips that way too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they went in and they said, hey man, we're getting, because that there's also a rumor. I cannot prove.
Sources, say it's a rumor.
So it's a rumor, but was that someone called Scott Frost and said, we want this much for Wandale. And Scott Frost said, get the fuck. I don't call me. Cause that's not a conversation you have with the head coach. What do you do?
You find a booster.
That's amateur shit.
You find a booster.
Yeah, or an assistant.
Unless that's how business John is done Rutledge in Kentucky. Is who
you contact about that, the special teams analyst.
Well right. No longer special
no teams longer, analyst.
Yeah. No, that's right.
And how is that the guy who becomes the one whose head rolls?
Because you have, because the
last hired
sucks, and you have to. It's an easy.
But also,
last hired, first fired.
But also, like, a special teams analyst, you need a, like, there's a limited amount that you can do as the special teams analyst. Like, as
he can't be on the field with them,
coach. And I think, like, he give the guy an actual special teams coaching role, and maybe he, because there was talk early in the season of like people in North Stadium being like, oh, this guy's the real deal, and then suddenly he's not. Like, I don't know. It feels like
another move coming.
I think it feels like all the support in the world for Frost guys, but then not for the ones who aren't. And that even translates to like the players sometimes. And I think that's what ultimately feels like the real flaw of this.
Well, but in the player, because I remember that what happened when he first came in and the Riley guys were all pissy, but also, I mean, duh.
Well, yeah. I get that. But also, duh, you don't get full buy-in then either.
Right.
Well, I don't think he was concerned with full buy-in.
How many players are not Frost players next year?
All of them are Frost players.
Okay.
Right? Well, except for Damian Daniels.
Is he still there?
Well, DeAndre Thomas.
That's it.
DeAndre Thomas. Guy too. I'm sure there've got to be a couple others.
Is Stilly?
Stilly. Maybe all these fifth-year guys coming back.
Cade Warner was a Riley guy. I'm sure there are more.
But isn't there rumors of Cade? Isn't like Cade, what's his name? Kurt Warner, like, seemed to be kind of looking around.
Yeah. I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Cool. Like
Oliver Martin and Levi Falk, I think, were better than him.
Dropped every fucking pass.
The thing is, he didn't prior to last year. He was really, really reliable in that regard.
Maybe it was too much again.
And a couple of them weren't his fault, like that one bullet in the end zone that was just thrown too hard. And
yeah, he didn't look like the same guy this year. And I'm sure that's the case with a lot of people. But yeah, he missed a couple blocks. I mean, I can't say for sure whether or not he was running the right routes or not, because like
we haven't done our full breakdown of every play of the season. No,
we have not gone clip by clip. That's for sure. But I don't know. The little things were the things that got him on the field. And the little things seemed to kind of
go away.
Fail.
Yeah. Him. And for a player of that level, everything kind of has to hit for it to be a good season.
Yeah. We have two more questions left. You ready for them?
Sure.
Would you rather eat a burp or eat a fart?
Oh, a burp.
Yeah, because that's
somebody else's.
Well, still a burp.
The burp is still a lot closer to the original food.
Yep.
The fart, it's gone through a whole process.
I mean, I've kissed women who had like bad breath. That's what I figure is the worst of that.
You've never eaten an ass that has bad breath?
I've never not.
See?
And that's why my answer is what it is.
So I'm also going to go with burp.
Yes.
That
was a good one.
Now, the final question that was in this text chain from Tweety, are you guys deaf?
Oh, that was the last one.
Yeah.
Well, no, obviously,
as has been established, I have poor hearing.
And this was 20 minutes before the podcast. So it's like I didn't respond because I figured we'd get to it now.
Yeah. Are you deaf? We did. Tweety?
Yes, I'm deaf.
Okay.
Weird. Good lip reader.
Man, we did it, guys. We got through Tweety's list. I don't think I missed any. I went out of
order. No, that was a good list, too.
Yeah,
we didn't really talk about probably the best addition to the team, the running back from USC. But I just want to say, you know, that allays all the fears about Mills leaving.
Yeah.
Well,
what'd you say, Tweety?
I think that's the one really light in the darkness right now is that running back. But also, why'd he leave?
Well, there were three running backs of his level at USC, all four stars. We don't have that level of running back competition here right now.
I mean, what's up with Tompkins, though?
Well, but you know what? Maybe now with Wandell going, some of these spots open up for these guys to start to shine. I also think, even though it was USC, I do think the Big Ten is a much better conference to be in for your pro prospects.
Well, and he's from Indianapolis. So,
yes.
I mean, he has more of a chance of being seen by and family
players. Yes. He originally committed to Notre Dame, too.
Yeah. And I actually sneakily really like that Montana transfer at wide receiver.
I mean, it's
nothing sneaky about it. Look at those numbers. Look, Jerry Rice put up huge numbers at a shit school. Seemed to translate pretty well.
Another thing that really annoys me is
Randy Moss did too.
As well as Dante Culpepper, but he was a quarterback.
Also Randy Moss and all those different quarterbacks that went through Marshall, they tore shit up for a while. But
you know who he says his favorite quarterback of all time was Chad Pennington.
I believe it.
Because he was super accurate, but the dude could not throw a bullet. He spent 10 years in the NFL throwing like me.
Yeah. I mean, accurate, knew how to run an offense. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I hate this whole Levi Falk coming back. I mean, everybody's trying to pretend like Levi Falk was this like hero of the offense.
He didn't impress me.
Me neither. Dropped a lot of balls.
I didn't recall a lot of drops, but also I didn't recall him getting open a lot either.
I remember for some reason, whenever I think of him, I think of him dropping things on the sideline that weren't necessarily easy catches, but.
I remember that from a walk-on kid named Wyatt Lure, but.
You know what? You're right. I am thinking of Lure.
Lure is the one you're thinking of.
You're right. I'm sorry. I am thinking of Lure.
I mean, we'll have plenty of time to talk about
Levi, things. They look very similar on paper.
And on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewer did have a touchdown at one point this year. We did not have many touchdowns from our wide receivers, and none of them came from Wyatt Lewer, which leads me to think that it brings me back to that, like, Wandale is good, but it's one of those things where, like, so there were years where, like, Rex Burkhead was like thrown, like, people would throw his name into like the best running backs in Nebraska history. He was good and he was the best player on the team at that time, but he wasn't a legend. And right now,
same with Helu. They did the same thing with Helu,
but Helu at least had some record setting games.
He did. Helu had big games, and actually Helu and Burkhead, for the record, successful pros for a good time.
Yeah. Sure.
But so what I'm saying though is, like, just because you're the best guy on a mediocre team, or in this case, a really bad team, doesn't mean that you're great. Like,
no,
that's not to try and do a revisionist history thing with Wandale, because he's been a competitor and I think he's been misused at times, but I appreciate his durability, but I'm not convinced yet that he's a full-on difference maker.
J.D. Spielman was their leading receiver the year before, went to TCU and caught four passes.
Yeah. And so I think
that could be a chemistry thing.
It can, but if you are lights out.
Yeah.
If Randy Moss transfers from Marshall to any school the following year, he catches, 10 touchdowns, no matter what. So if you're a difference maker, you make a difference. I think that's all that. And how much of a difference did he really make?
You should put that on a t-shirt.
I should. I'll put it on a butt plug.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be real small print. That's like four level. That's like font four.
It's going to
be like, maybe I'll put it on beads.
It's going to be like one of those mouth guards that goes all the way around your mouth. It's in, but then kind of like covers.
Now, I'm going to do the beads. So each one comes out. If you are a difference maker,
you should do a contraction on some of those words. Difference. It'll take forever.
Do it letter by letter.
Are you including
that's like a rosary bead?
You including proper punctuation with the comma and everything in the middle of that sentence?
Oh, yes. Always.
Okay.
All right. This has to be it. There can't be anything else.
There are no more questions.
Are you sure? I feel like I had another one.
Well, do I want to watch some
real football.
I'm looking. Hold on. I'm looking.
Yeah, there is.
What are you looking on your walls?
Football on TV right now.
Midwest football, no less.
Although CBS got removed from my Hulu, so I actually don't even get to watch this game.
Wow.
They removed some CBS affiliates, so I don't get to watch Jeopardy or Wheel of
Fortune. Wait. You can't watch, you don't have, I bet you could get it on the Rabbit Ears, CBS.
Yeah, but then I got to go out and get a Rabbit Ears. Also, I can't guarantee that. I live in like a town of 500 people right now.
I think your TV, you'd be surprised if you just go to the thing, it has its own antenna in there. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, maybe I'll give that a shot in a second.
And also look up the Attorney General TikTok thing.
Or also just go to First Row Sports.
Sure.
That's okay. Free. We've got all the suggestions.
I hate going to like the different web things because I'm always just afraid that I'm going to get something I don't want.
Yep.
No, you're not.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You have a Mac?
I do. Yeah.
Then you're not going to get shit.
All right. If I can get it through the TV first, I'm going to do that.
Here's what you do.
Let us know.
No, hold on. Here's what you do. This is a tip, pro tip for all of our listeners as well. FirstRowSports.com, I think it's like .eu because it's a European thing.
Of course.
Then you got to like click around and get rid of all the ads. It does work. It doesn't seem like it's going to work, but it does work. Take an HDMI cable, run it from your laptop to your TV. Switch to the input like HDMI 1.
I mean, I know how to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just put your social security in on that site and you get everything.
I hate running things through my computer first because then I can't use my computer. And then sometimes I forget, even like when I do like the wireless.
It sounds to me like you don't really want to watch this game, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll watch it. I'll figure out my ways. The way it works for me.
Fuck this game.
Because the other thing, well, because the thing that I do, because I'll wirelessly stream it from my computer into my TV because I can do that instead of the HDMI. But then I start playing around with my computer, and next thing I know, I've fucked everything up because then I
don't want. What about your phone? Can you run your phone to your computer or to your TV?
This seems like an off-air conversation.
All right, guys, follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on facebook.com/Cobcast, patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. You can get a Hawkeye Tears water bottle or maybe eventually a Big Red Cobcast butt plug.
Dude,
Hawkeye Tears butt plug would be all right too.
Ooh, a Hawkeye Tears butt plug?
You don't want to cry out your butthole.
I don't want anything Hawkeye going near my ass.
Fair.
That's fair. Dude, why are you putting in your own butt?
I'm not buying a gift for people. I'm getting stuff for treat yourself.
No, you treat yourself by covering up the butthole.
We can do another episode on what do you buy sex toys for? Your friend or you?
No, not sex toys. Butt plugs. You don't put a butt plug in your butt. You put it in someone else's butt. So you
don't tell anyone what to do. Don't tell people how to use stuff.
I'm not
to come up with a scenario. If you want to, you do it. That's it.
I mean, you're right. I'm not trying to kink shame. You're right.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you want to lick, if you want to pull the butt plug out and lick
okay,
it.
Okay. 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 You. Okay.
You're
so close.
All right. That'll cover
it. Don't give yourself pink eye though.
Fatty Red's a bus.
Fatty Red's a bus.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.